This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Spoiler alert!
People change. People change throughout their lifetimes. That's a given. That's a given throughout nature. Physically, obviously, there's no changing that. Mentally, and just your personality in general. No matter what, it's going to change. The speed of how someone changes, though, is what I want to talk about today. And specifically, when someone changes so rapidly, whether they're in the public eye, whether they're just like a friend, someone you know, and it kind of feels like a rebrand, that can be a very interesting and sometimes weird and strange thing. I want to talk specifically today about Doja Cat, iDubbbz, Ninja. These are all very, very random people, not much in common you would think, but they've all undergone like a pretty fast rebrand, sort of, to speak. So, first, I don't know if you've seen the news, seen the Twitters, all of that about Doja Cat, how she, I actually cannot believe I just referred to tweets as Twitters. I feel 8,000 years old, but Doja Cat, like, a few weeks ago was tweeting saying, that her past two albums were, like, mindless pop music and cash grabs, and that all her fans are, like, stupid for listening to it. And, you know, this is coming from someone who plays a lot on Twitter, in the public space, whether it be like costumes, making silly jokes. They're a very unserious person for the most part, but this felt like a very serious thing to say. Like, if you're one of the biggest pop stars in the world, which, you know, is probably like something that a lot of people would kill their uncle for, like, they would love to have 50 million monthly listeners on Spotify, to come out and say, actually, you're all stupid, you all suck ass, and you're dumb, it's kind of a crazy, radical thing to say. Now, this isn't that shocking to me, because Doja Cat has been having kind of like a style change, like musically, and also like in terms of fashion and just like how she presents herself. She's been like going for a more edgy appearance. Obviously the shaved head, very dynamic like makeup choices. It's not that shocking to me, but what was shocking to me is like I knew that Doja Cat probably wants to get away from the pop of it all, like, you know, the very cookie cutter kind of top 40 sounds for her music, and probably wants to like be more experimental and have fun, because, you know, you hear from a lot of like retired pop stars or people who like left the industry, they're like, the music industry is corrupt and I just want to make my own thing, and I can, you know, like, when you make music for a commercial audience or the biggest audience possible to make as much money as possible, you can't be that edgy, okay? You can't like have black eyeliner and shave your head. Like, that's gonna scare like Jody McFlarngus in like Alabama, that's like turning on the radio while she like milks her cows. Like, that was a really stupid example, but I always felt that Doja Cat was trying to get away from the audience and the kind of persona that she had created. But it's a weird thing, because obviously, like, no one has to become a pop star. You didn't have to put yourself in a position of being like super uber famous and your music being super well known and very like mainstream. So it's a little strange to me to see her kind of demonize this older work that, you know, a lot of people, I'm not going to come out here and say like her music saved lives. Maybe it did, but it wasn't like the most emotional, like, Doja Cat, your song Say So stopped me from driving my car into a brick wall. Like, I don't think that did, like, it was doing that for anyone, but it still meant something to a lot of people. So it's weird to kind of throw it under the rug, pretend like it never happened, just to move on to your new stuff. But the next person I want to talk to before I talk about before I talk about this broader kind of weird thing of rebranding that public people do is iDubbbz. If you don't know who iDubbbz is, he's a YouTuber. He was one of my favorite YouTubers from like the 2016 edgy era. He was like part of this trio with Filthy Frank, who's now the singer Joji, and Max Mofo, and like just this kind of community of YouTube that was, you know, slurs, they let it fly. Whatever, they would literally just say whatever, and it was crazy. Crazy is a little too light of a word, actually. It was fucking bonkers, like the videos that they were making. Like what comes to mind that my young impressionable brain watched when I was like 16 was they all like cut hair from their pubes and like got hair from like all sorts of other YouTubers. Like they got like PewDiePie's pubes. That rhymes really well. PewDiePie's okay, now I can't say it. They got like pubes from like 20 different YouTubers. I think like Markiplier was one of them, and then baked it in a cake, and then they all ate the cake and like threw up on each other, and it was like a 30-minute video. And in addition to that, he made videos called Content Cop, which were these sort of like 30-minute long exposés, if you will, on YouTubers who were kind of hated at the time or very controversial, like Keemstar, Leafy, Ricegum, those kind of people. He would make these videos. Oh, Tanimojo. This was the big one. How could I forget? He made this content cop on Tanimojo where kind of the main point was she was caught like saying the N-word when she was younger and then said, oh, I didn't know what it meant. And he kind of made like a whole expose video. But then he went to her show because she did shows for some fucking reason. I don't know why Tanimojo was like on tour. I don't know why my ass was on tour, but she would do like these kind of meet and greet shows, and he showed up to one of them and said "say," and then the N-word as like a say cheese, but say this instead, which it's a very weird thing to wrap your head around because like he was exposing her for saying the N, not exposing, but kind of like humiliating, like mocking her for saying the N-word and being so like dumb and callous about it. While also saying it, so, like, and his explanation for that was that, like, either everyone can say it or no one can say it, which doesn't really check out at all, considering they are both white people, but I don't want to get too deep into the lore and the history of it. But basically, he's been getting away from that in like the past few months. Okay, first he came on this podcast for one of the old members of Smosh. His name is Anthony Padilla. He makes these videos where he like sits down with all sorts of people. But he did a video sitting down with iDubbbz. And one of the things that iDubbbz said was that like he like literally hated some of his fans. Like people would come up to him. And this is so funny because I actually met him at VidCon, but it was like in very much like a fan kind of way. Like I went up to him with my friends and I was like, are you iDubbbz? Can I get the picture? And then we got like a really awkward picture together. But he would talk about how he would have these like people come up to him and they were just like horrible, like basement dweller people. Cause that's the kind of audience that his videos attracted. He made very kind of like sometimes hateful and negative and brutal videos that were like laced with slurs here and there. So he went on this podcast to say like, I'm paraphrasing. He was like kind of just grossed out by that and wanted to move on. And then kind of more solidified that by releasing a big long like 20-minute video saying I miss the old iDubbbz. And this was something that people started, like, you know, commenting on his videos in the more recent months. And also, he does this thing called Creator Clash, which is, like, this big boxing event between, like, YouTube creators. So, he, in this video, basically said, like, how he's distancing himself from the content he used to do. He did, like, a massive kind of apology for, like, all the things that he's done, and it's like too much to like summarize because it's like basically think of like any kind of offensive thing that you could do on the internet, he pretty much did. So it was not received well at fucking all. And I think, I do think it was something that needed to be done. Obviously, like, the edgy content and the edgy videos that people were making from 2016, if they're still out there and still lingering, they're obviously a product of their times, but it's hard to just, like, let time pass and just kind of assume that the person has moved on rather than them outwardly saying, hey, the stuff I said was very messed up and I'm sorry and I've moved on. So I think it was, like, important that he made a video addressing it, but at the same time, it's a lose-lose fucking battle for him because you have his fan base, which is he pretty much wasn't gaining new subscribers in, like, the past few years. Like, pretty much his entire fan base is people who followed him from his, like, edgy content, his, like, crazy shit from 2016 where he was baking pubes into cake and saying the N-word. So, oh, and probably the F-word, like, all the slurs. So, obviously, those people are not having the same, like, character, what do you call it? It's gonna bug me so much. Character, growth that he apparently had. A lot of these people are still, like, the same basement-dwelling, like, gargoyles that found his, like, 2016 humor funny. So, it was not received well. I think it, like, received, like half-dislike ratio. Lots of posts on Twitter saying, like, oh, it's over. Boys, it's over. He's done. And I will say a lot of this falls into, there's, like, this drama with, like, his wife and people, like, just hate his wife because she does OnlyFans and all these other things, like, think that she's, like, controlling him. It's a whole thing. I'm not the most well-versed in the lore of all that, but that all seems a little bit silly to me. But the thing is, I just don't even know, like, what one would do in that situation. I kind of feel like when you put that much kind of, like, dark, edgy content into the world, there's really no coming back from that. Like, even if you were the most creative person alive and you still have so much more to, like, make in terms of, like, content for YouTube, I don't know how you can when, like, that will probably forever be your biggest, the biggest thing you're known for. And to tie this back into Doja Cat, it's kind of similar because, you know, the music that she now, like, says was a cash grab and hates is some of the biggest music, not just of her career, because it probably will be the biggest music of her career, but of, like, that year, probably, like, all those years that that music was released, it was constantly at the top of the charts. So it's hard to, like, rebrand away from that. Now, if you strictly are just doing it because, like you're washing yourself of your old self strictly because you want to have, like, a new artistic prowess and you want to, like, try out a new side of you, go ahead. But I don't think that celebrities like Doja Cat are always just in it to, like, I always think there's, like, some money aspect to it, obviously. So that's why I, like, take it with a grain of salt. I almost feel like Doja Cat's rebrand is more of a PR stunt than, like, an actual rebrand and, like, change of style. Maybe, like, and, like, this is, like, not unheard of, let me say. Like, most artists do, like, change styles. You know, you have Taylor Swift that went from country to pop. All sorts of artists that just, like, sometimes fully jump genres or play, like, jumping back and forth between them. It's not, like, a new thing, but what is new-ish and what's, like, very bizarre to me is the concept of, like, demonizing your old audience. Now, obviously, Doja Cat and the iDubbbz situation are different because, you know, like, if iDubbbz is demonizing his old fan base, maybe that's not, like, that horrible because some of them are fucking demons. But Doja Cat, it's like, you're just, like, offending, like, little old Leslie in Nebraska that loved your song Say So, and you're telling old little Leslie that she's a fucking idiot for listening to her songs, and she grabbed your cash. She grabbed the 5 cents that you paid her when you streamed her music, probably less, and she's an idiot for that. So that's like kind of those are two different kind of rebrands. Let me like break it down this way. iDubbbz is rebranding from like a very kind of concentrated audience of like probably like incels and like bridge trolls to hopefully maybe expand to a wider audience. Okay, so he's like working on these bigger projects like Creator Clash, things like that. Whereas Doja Cat, you have her coming from an already huge audience that's very broad, very like not edgy or anything, so that she can shrink it down to like a smaller audience that might appreciate her. Like, I don't know, it feels like she's gonna do like a rock album or something like that. And another example of what, you know, kind of iDubbbz is doing, I guess, is what Ninja did. You know, the streamer Ninja, if that rings a fucking bell. He used to like swear a lot in his streams and his YouTube videos. And then as he like grew, as he blew up, listen, I don't know the exact fucking timeline of like Ninja's like his career. I watched like the one Drake stream that he did like what, 4 years ago, and that's it. But as he like started like gaining like rapid success, I think he like stopped swearing and like became like very family friendly. And it's so funny to like contrast that to like clips of him before where he would like literally be like like he'd get like shot by like a 12-year-old in Fortnite and be like, "You little fucking twerp! I will find your family and I will burn their house out." So rebrands like that are really funny because yeah. Okay, I want to like talk about like the challenges of like both of these types. So for example, they're going from like edgier, more kind of provocative to a wider audience. People are always going to be able to see the times when you were like swearing or saying slurs. That's always going to exist. It's the internet. It's forever. But then on the other hand, you have Doja Cat, where you know, she might try and slip into communities of like more punk or like emo alternative genres, and to people who are already in that community, to people who already listen to that style of music, they might see Doja Cat as like a phony because, well, A, she's already like rich as hell, but B, like, is a giant pop star trying her hand at like genres that are typically like most, I feel like a lot of alternative artists are like struggling to like eat. Like, if you have a small fan base, or you like make music in a smaller genre that like doesn't even have the chance of like being played on the radio or like reaching financial success, you're gonna be like struggling. So I'm curious to see like how Doja Cat's kind of career change will turn out, and I think there's a good chance that she'll just like flip it around and like drop one emo album and then be like back to pop music. Who knows. And it sometimes like just feels so manufactured to me, because every single artist like does this. They like have to create like a whole fucking era for like an album. It's like, can you just like drop like it's so dramatic for like what is literally just releasing like 10 to 15 MP3 files on Spotify.com, and they're like creating these whole like persona changes, like changing their fucking name, dyeing their hair, shaving their head. It's like, just drop the music and move on. Like, it's so dramatic. So, we'll get into more about like my opinion on rebranding and if it's like a stupid thing to do or not right after this quick break. So, I'm not gonna sit here and like try and pretend like I'm like a celebrity or anything, like I have like bodies of art to like create personas or like rebrand around. Like, I really just make fucking videos on youtube.com and like tiktok.com, and like that's for the most part it. But I do like always kind of think about like what am I putting out? How is it being perceived? How am I being perceived? And I like spiral because I'm like, oh fucking Jesus Christ, I'm being perceived. But I think like a really great quote from like the YouTube godfathers, Colin Samir, is like, this isn't going to be a quote because I'm just like pulling it from my brain, but never like make content that you wouldn't want to go viral for. And that has always been very, I mean, it hasn't always been very interesting to me. Since I've heard it, which was like a month ago, it's been like ringing through my ears. And it like rang true because there's been videos I've made in the past that I was like, I look back and fucking cringe. I've talked about this before. Part of the reason why like my Zoom videos are all gone, because I just don't find them funny. I think fundamentally they're just not fucking funny. And like, I understand that, like people found it funny when they came out. It blows my mind that like one of them literally has like 16 million views, but they're gone because obviously like just being obnoxious to random people who don't want to have an obnoxious little rat join their fucking Zoom call. It's not funny. And I know that I can do better things and greater things and funnier things, like actual funny things. So that's like kind of why, that's part of the reason why they're gone. Ugh, I always just like edge all every single time I talk about it. I'm like, one day I'll be able to talk about why they're gone. But that day will come, but it's not today. But, And like other examples are just like random TikToks that I've made that I just like look back and they're just like not funny. Not in like a exploitative way of being not funny. They're just like actually not funny. Like it's just like
today I woke up and put cheese in my nose and then shot it out and then made a cheese sandwich and then I ate the cheese sandwich but then I threw up on my dog.
Like shit like that. So, like, I've never had, like, a moment where I was like, guys, like, made, like, a video where there's no thumbnail and the title says, we need to talk. And I say, guys, there's been something on my mind. I'm a new person and I've
never done anything like that, never, like, desired to do anything like that. But I do come across, like, things that I want to try on YouTube. For example, like longer videos, videos like documenting people, like my new Amish video, that was something that I really wanted to do, that was like a little bit more serious than my like typical videos. So things like that, like I'm always going to just sprinkle in to like my regular content for the most part. And when I like find regular content that I'm making that's no longer funny to me, no longer fun to make, and just no longer funny in general, example Omegle videos, they sail away into the sunset. And those ones, like I'll probably like not take down, because like I'm not like that ashamed, even if they're like not funny. Like it's just like I like to keep things up for the archive, so I can be like a 9-year-old being like, oh, I remember when I was going on Omegle and seeing penises. Like, but I think it's a little too harsh when you have like people that consume stuff that you make and to just turn on them on a dime one day and be like, this all sucks and you're all stupid forever consuming it. That's never going to go over nicely. Now, I'm sure Doja Cat's announcement that all her music was a money grab, and I think her, like, wait, I have the article here. She said, like, her new album is going to be called Moist Holes. She's fucking playing. She's playing, y'all. You can't just, like, turn on bitches like that. You have to own, like, what you created. Even if you get to a point years down the road that you don't like it, you still made it, motherfucker, and people still saw it, and that is permanent. That's a permanent thing. And I will always be aware that my Zoom hacking videos were a permanent thing that they were like pieces of obnoxiousness that I just put out there that people found funny, but it's a time past. And like, you know, like even just talking about it now like this, like helps me reconcile with like just moving on from it. Those videos like didn't really have like they weren't like offensive. They were just annoying. But it's nice to like, you know, set the sail. Also, I am wearing pants. I keep popping my knee out and it really looks seductive and suggestive. But yeah, I do like wonder how weird it would be as like a musical artist when, especially like a pop singer, where you have such commercial music, where your music goes from being like an artistic thing to like an actual like product that is like just pretty much existing to make money. That must be hard. That must be hard to even just like look at yourself as an artist or a creator and think like, damn, I literally just exist to make money. And like, obviously there's like the bare bones artistry that goes into making hits like Say So, but there's no real kind of like soul to those songs, I guess. So I can like put myself in Doja Cat's shoes and like see and kind of feel like why you would want to move away from that and like make something with a little more soul at the expense of it not making as much money or any money or pissing off the people that liked your original music. And you know, you see like teases of this also where, you know, she has the whole demonic thing going on, like always alludes to like satanic things, and I think that's like a very fast way that you can like alienate and piss off your mainstream pop fans, because obviously not everyone like pop music is like the listeners of pop music is like everyone. Like you turn on a radio, if you own a fucking radio, you listen to pop music here and there. And obviously within that there's going to be Christians and there's going to be people who will be offended if you reference Satan or, you know, like play around with that kind of aesthetic. I really just called Satanism an aesthetic. So like I think maybe she's just like fucking speed running, like killing her mainstream audience so she can have this more tight-knit audience. But it just, you really got to do it smoother. I'm so sorry, Doja Cat. If I was Doja Cat's manager, or if I was Doja Cat, I would, you know, I'd put out, the next album I'd put out would be a little bit of pop and a little bit of emo. And then the one after that would be a little bit of emo. I wouldn't just turn on a fucking dime and be like, yeah, look at you little fucking bozos. Look at you idiots streaming my music. Didn't you know it was a cash grab? Like, that's not even going to make people want to, like, go and stream your new music. Like, I think a better way to do it would be to show that you can, like, make really good experimental or alternative or indie music rather than just, like, being, like, the old me is dead. You are forced to listen to this new sound and flavor that I'm doing. So, thank God I don't fucking make music. I'm so glad. I really am glad that like I've never really had like a bone in my body to just like be a musician. I know like a lot of influencers and content creators like jump ship to go do that. Not my ass. Probably because I can't sing. It would be fun to like play around and like make a diss track or something, but you're never gonna see me just singing. But anyways, with that all being said, let's read some drama. All right, and just as a reminder, if you ever want me to read your drama on this podcast, please just comment it on the YouTube video version of this podcast. Like two sentences. What do you need advice with? What's going on in your life? Let me help you through it because I have so much experience. I'm just so wise. But this drama is from Sharks and Doodles. They said, I got some drama surrounding one of my friends. We'll call her Allie. So basically, we're all freshmen. And as soon as Allie turns 15, the super senior of our school comes waltzing in and starts hitting on her. I should probably mention he's 23 and has gotten one girl pregnant and played so many of the younger girls in our school. At first, we kept trying to keep Allie away from him, but we found out she's been getting close to him from behind our backs. No idea what to do because me and my friends can't seem to stop her. How in the fuck does your school let a 23-year-old go there? A, call the police. B, you gotta start something. A fucking GoFundMe. Go sign me. A petition. Why is your school letting 23-year-olds in? They need. You can graduate university at 23. I have no words. I'll see y'all next Wednesday. What the? What?